This is Will Buxton, and you are listening to the Racelets IndyCar Podcast.
Hey guys, I'm Jack Harvey, and you're listening to Racelets IndyCar Podcast.
This is Alex Pelot, and you're listening to the Racelets IndyCar Podcast.
Hey everybody, I'm Joseph Newgarden, and you're listening to Racelets IndyCar Podcast.
Scott McLaughlin, driver for Team Penske, and you're listening to Racelets IndyCar Podcast.
Hey, this is Will Power, and you are listening to Racelets IndyCar Podcast.
And you're listening to Racelets IndyCar Podcast.
And this is Racelets IndyCar Podcast.
Hi, I'm Marcus Ericsson, driver of the 28 Andretti Global, and you're listening to Racelets Podcast.
Hey, it's David Malukas here, and you're listening to Racelets IndyCar Podcast.
You're listening to Racelets IndyCar Podcast.
This is Rinus VK, you're listening to Racelets IndyCar Podcast.
It's Graham Rahog, you're listening to Racelets IndyCar Podcast.
Eagle, you're listening to Racelets IndyCar Podcast.
My name is Robert Schwartzman, and you're listening to Racelets IndyCar Podcast.
This is Racelets IndyCar Podcast. Here are your hosts, Fred and Sydney.
What is up, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Racelets IndyCar Podcast. I'm Fred.
I'm Sydney.
And on tonight's episode, we're going to talk all things about this past weekend's Java House Grand Prix in Monterey.
Yeah, Dad, it's been a week from Laguna Seca, and I'm still trying to recover from this exhausting but exciting weekend.
Yes, it was an exhausting and very exciting weekend. It was our very first time up at Laguna Seca. We made the drive Thursday morning up to Monterey. It took about 6.5 hours to get there, and got there just in time for all the festivities on Thursday. Yeah.
Yeah.
Staying right down the street, a few minutes away from downtown Monterey, where they had the little kickoff party. So much fun there. We're going to talk about all of that, all the pre-race festivities. We're going to break down every single day at the track, Friday, Saturday, and race day Sunday. Also, some interesting and breaking news we want to talk about with the Fox Sports acquiring 33% of IndyCar and what that can mean for the future of IndyCar racing. And we also go over our Grid Rival picks from this past weekend and give you a short little preview about what's to come in Portland next week.
Well, yeah, Dad, and we also have some very exciting driver interviews that we were able to do this past weekend.
Yes, we will be playing those here shortly throughout the show. Some really awesome driver interviews and some cool experiences. But let's start with Thursday night. We arrive to our hotel about 5:30 and have just enough time to check into our room, unpack, and we're like, you know what? Let's go down and see what's happened at the kickoff party. And Sid, tell us a little bit about that kickoff party and what all took place, who was down there. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. So when we got down there, there were three different teams. Christian Lundgaard and Nolan Siegel from Arrow McLaren. Robert Schwartzman and Callum Ilott from Prema. And then Rossi and Rasmussen from ECR were all there for autographs and interviews and stuff like that.
Yeah, really cool. DJ Clark, they're interviewing all of the drivers in front of the fans. I would say there were quite a few hundred.
Yeah, there was a good amount of people there.
Some vendors, some cool booths, and just a really cool experience.
It was fun.
You're just steps away from the famous Fisherman Wharf area, which we were able to go walk down and after the festivities and take a look at some of the sea life and
the water,
have some clam chowder. Mm-hmm. Really fun atmosphere. But ran into some really good friends Thursday at the ceremonies as well, and caught up with them throughout the entire weekend. And we'll tell you a little bit about the Sunday meetup that we had on the track as well with all the fans from
just the people who enjoy the sport as much as we do.
Yeah, awesome experience. So Thursday night, we do that. And remember, this race was sponsored by Java House. So Java House was down there giving out free samples.
Got our pods.
Yeah, their pods, some coffee pods, some new electrolyte type pods. They were kind of like Gatorade. Pretty good, I would say. A nice flavor to them. I don't really know, you know, as far as the hydration goes, if I was very hydrated or not from them. But really cool. Tastes good. Make sure to buy some at Java House's website. I know if you're in California like we are, we have to order on Amazon. Or you can go directly through the company site.
Yeah.
But really cool. But they gave you these little tokens. And mm-hmm. on those tokens, you were able to go into a little VIP area they had in the hotel mm-hmm. in which Java House was sampling their drinks and making these espresso martinis. And boy, those were quite delicious. Sydney, you are obviously not of drinking age, so I was able to use your token to get myself another. But yeah, that was a lot of fun. Met some really cool people down there. And this is all just Thursday, even before, you know, heading down to the track and everything that was going to take place.
Yeah.
Our day was going to look like for, you know, our itinerary for the weekend was showing up at the track at 7 a.m. every day and staying until the final races were done and the teams were finally closing up shop for the day. So Thursday was awesome. A lot of fun. Had to get a good night's sleep because it was about a 6.5 hour
drive
for us to get up to the coast. And when that was all said and done, we wake up early Friday morning, go outside.
And it's drizzling.
It's drizzly. And it's, you know, a little foggy, overcast, only about 60 degrees, but it was wet. Mm-hmm. And
you're like, oh gosh.
Yeah, I didn't know what to expect, but you know, it was about a 15-minute or so drive.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad drive from where we were staying.
To the track.
Yeah, Dad. So we got there bright and early, 7 a.m., and we're able to just walk up and down the paddock a couple times and just get a feel of how track was, how Laguna Seca is, since it was our first time there. And then we also had some interviews set up for us pretty early in the morning as well.
Yeah, we were very fortunate to be able to set up a time in which Sydney and I were both able to conduct some interviews with a couple of the Andretti Global Next racers in Lockie Hughes and Dennis Hauger. Incredible. The two top guys in NXT or Next, and had a really cool interview with those guys.
Yeah.
We'll try to get that to you guys soon. And also had another interview. This one, I was really hoping we were going to be able to meet this young gentleman, and I'm so glad that we did.
Me too.
An amazing person, just very articulate, very intelligent, you know, well-spoken, just holds himself with a lot of class and a lot of pride, and that was Miles Rowe of Able Motorsports. And right now we're going to play a little quick interview we had with Miles Rowe, who was the first NXT African-American to win a race just a few weeks ago.
Here with Miles Rowe. Miles, welcome to Laguna Seca. How are you doing this morning?
I'm all good. Thank you.
All right. We all want to know, how was your experience winning your first race?
Yeah, no, it was so good. It was so good because I had a lot of family and friends down there. A lot of team support. You know, the team principal for Force Indy, obviously the whole Able Motorsports team. And we had to do a good bit of rebuilding of the car after Ohio. Because when I went off trying to make some passes, it messed up the bottom of the car a good bit. So we had to turn it around in a week, which was basically turning it around in 2 days. So they worked long hours and everything. So it was the best result they could have had for their hard work. And it's, you know, obviously a very good feeling to do a lot to the car and then to come out and be really fast like that. So it was just an amazing feeling to be able to deliver it like that to them.
Yeah, super excited for everybody. Being the first African-American to win a next race, an IndyCar race for that matter. Have you raced here at Laguna Seca before?
Yeah.
And what was your experience, and what are you looking forward to do this weekend?
Yeah, I did it once last year, so we had two races last year. I got a flat in one, and then like a top 10, close to top 5 last year. But I'm looking for a much better result this year. I think my car balance will be a lot better and stuff. And I do love this track. It's my favorite road course, I think, on the calendar. Although I hate saying favorites because I have a lot of favorites on the calendar, but I do really appreciate this place. I love the area. I love California and stuff. So, just looking to really enjoy the weekend come on strong. We have really short practice sessions, so getting the car dialed efficiently is going to be very key. But that also makes it very, very exciting for Saturday and such, especially if you're on the front row. So we'll be hoping to do that, especially in such a beautiful place here.
So, yeah, that was Miles Bro. It was honestly so cool to meet him. He's such a sweet and just wholehearted and caring guy. So it was really, really cool that we got the chance to talk to him. And we're really looking forward to seeing what he has to bring to IndyCar, because he has such a bright future, and I'm excited to see him hopefully in an IndyCar pretty soon.
Yeah, he will be in an IndyCar soon. Can't wait to see him race a 500. That would be
an
awesome experience as well. And Sydney, he kind of just made your knees weak when he would give you that wink, right?
Yeah, a very smooth wink.
Very smooth wink with Miles Rowe there. So that was with Miles. That was our first set of interviews of the day, was to get with those next guys. And then we were able to conduct some interviews with the IndyCar drivers as well. We were able to take place in the IndyCar bullpen session, where you just kind of hop in line and a few of the drivers go down the row. Mm-hmm. And Sydney, our very first interview of the day was with one of your favorites. He loves you. And what an awesome guy. We had so much fun with Alex this weekend. Here's the interview that you did with Alex, Sydney. So impressed with your professionalism and your charisma. And if you want to watch the full interview, go to our Instagram and TikTok pages, and we will be posting all of our interviews in video format as well. But here's the interview that Sydney did with Alex Pullo.
First of all, humongous congrats on how the season has turned out. You've done so well. But now that Pato's like closer in the championship, has there been any additional stress or like?
No, I mean, you always want to have more and more margins. But I think, it's still quite early on, although we're approaching the end of the season. Nobody can win the championship this weekend. So it's all about trying to get as many points as possible, trying to get the win if we can, because we've seen as soon as you get a win, or somebody gets a win, it's a big chunk of points, right? So we want to be able to fight for it and then check it. But we have a good margin of points. Like, I wouldn't like to be in another position, but it's still not enough, right? So we'll keep on pushing.
And you feel confident for this weekend? You've been pretty dominant here.
Yeah, we have a great car here. Well, we've had great cars here in the past. Now, this year, we have the hybrid, so we don't really know what that's going to do for us or for other people. I'm confident. I mean, I love this place. I love it so much, just driving every single lap. So hopefully you can have a good one.
Again, such an awesome interview you did with Alex Pullo. And that's, you've made such strides, and Alex has always been so accommodating to you the course of the season. Your very first interview was with Alex Thermal. And how you've come all this way and how you've made a relationship. He remembers you. He even called you out later in the race on Sunday after the race. You finally buckled down.
I finally got a jersey.
you earned that babysitting money. You bought yourself your first Alex Pullo jersey. And for him to say, finally, you got my jersey, that was a pretty cool moment. But Alex, this was just the beginning of what was going to be an incredible weekend for Alex Pullo. We said, our intentions were trying to get an interview with Joseph Newgarden. Yeah,
we had one thing planned.
You know, what we talked about, we've kind of gone over our perspective on the whole situation with Penske's in general, but especially Joseph, with everything that's gone on with him, the horrible season that he's endured, the crashes, all the DNFs, just everything. And we were able to catch up with Joseph for just a brief minute. And this is a little interview we did with Joseph Newgarden of Team Penske.
Run into a meeting with Rob.
No, we missed you at Thermal. I know you're busy, and we were busy at Long Beach as well, but thank you for taking the time with us today. A frustrating season. I really don't want to get into X's and O's. I'm an empath. I'm a father. We feel for you. And it breaks my heart when there's so much shit talking out there against you. And I want you to know that we're on your side. But I think now that you've jumped over that hurdle. You've put all the drama behind you. Just focus on racing. Is that your mindset now?
Yeah, we're very focused on, you know, just moving forward, trying to understand, you know, what can we control and, you know, what is in our control, what can we be doing better, you know, in all scenarios. And I think that's really all we can do is just try and, you know, be a team when we show up, which we're doing. You know, I feel really confident in what we can bring to the track. And, you know, we've just got to be getting a little bit better every weekend and executing. If we're executing what's in our control, then all is good.
Yeah, it was good to see Joseph this weekend and just kind of, like, catch up and talk with him. He's had a pretty rough season, so it was good just to kind of, like, hear it from him, what he's doing and how he's moving forward.
Yeah, it was a very positive interview, and he actually had a really good weekend as well. An overall great weekend for Joseph, and you could just see he was more of himself, smile on his face. Yeah. So it was nice to see him back in the rare form that is Joseph Newgarden that we are all accustomed to. Now, Sydney, we've waited all year for this one.
Way back to Long Beach.
Well, let's go back even to Thermal, where we tried to get an interview with this guy. We gave him
the thumbs up trophy.
Your thumbs up trophy at Thermal, and he loved it because this guy doesn't flip people off like Will Power. He gives a big thumbs up when he's upset with another driver. And I've kind of implemented that into my own driving style at home as well. You see me just thumbs upping everybody as I go down the road now. I feel a lot better about myself doing that than giving the old bird.
Thanks, Kyle.
Right? So this is, we also tried to catch up with Kyle.
Yeah, in Long Beach.
At Long Beach.
We met him on Saturday in Long Beach, right? And we asked him if we can get an interview. And he's like, oh, we'll see. And then he won Long Beach. And he was on the podium. And you were like, oh, hey, Kyle, we got to get an interview from you now.
Oh, it's an interview.
Yeah. So
and he smiled.
And he's like, oh, yeah.
You know what? We took him up on that. And
finally got it.
This is a really good interview we did with Kyle Kirkwood, another really good guy in this IndyCar series.
Thank you for joining Racelet's IndyCar podcast. We've tried really hard to get a few minutes with you over the course of the races here in Southern California and California. Because we're local here, we don't have the ability of traveling
still
all
got
over.
My thumbs up.
You still got your.
That's also got it.
Thank you. Hey, take us back to real quick. I don't want to dwell on last weekend with everything that went on. And what are you going to do going forward this weekend here in Laguna?
Well, I mean, last weekend, a bit of a lottery. I think some guys gambled on getting a lucky yellow there, and the guy who won caught two lucky yellows, not only just one. So, we were never going to do that because we had the pace to win outright. And unfortunately, it just didn't work out for us. And they other people that gambled made the right calls. And for us moving forward, we've been good at this circuit here in Laguna for some years now. This is one of the best road courses for Andretti. We qualified second last year, had a good shot to get on the podium. I wouldn't say we were exactly in the position to win, but we definitely should have gotten a podium here last year. So hopefully more of the same in comparison to last year.
Really successful season so far, your best so far in the IndyCar series. Going forward into next year, what are you going to main focus is going to be? Is it going to be to win a championship, or are you going to win the 500? What is your primary goal individually?
I think that's a question for the offseason, if I'm being honest, because we still have four races left, right? Like, my full focus is on this championship. We're not mathematically out of it, although the chances are very, very slim, right? So for these last four, we just need to focus on trying to win races, get as much as we can out of these last four. And then, obviously, next year will be the same thing. You always look into the season trying to win as many races as you possibly can and go after the championship. And knowing that winning races wins championships is the number one thing we got to do. So more of that.
Lastly, we know you're an avid fisherman. You love everything outdoors. If you weren't racing and you weren't, say, you know, on the water, what would you be doing?
Whoa. I don't have anything else in my life. That's about it. That's all I've got.
We got to get you some more trophies for that trophy case, right?
Yeah, I'd probably be sucking at golf somewhere.
Kyle Kirkwood, awesome guy. Nice to be able to catch up with him and speak to him for a few minutes. And it's cool, too, that he still has that trophy that he gave him earlier in the season, Sid. What other interviews did we
Well, the next one that we did was actually a fun one, and one we've been wanting to do because we wanted to get his perspective was Christian Rasmussen.
Yeah, we wanted to talk with Christian and just see what's going through his mind when he's out on the track.
Yeah.
He's crazy out there.
He is racing.
He's not your traditional driver. He's really active, really wild on track, but it's very exciting and a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And this is what Christian Rasmussen had to say.
How are you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Hey, real quick, man. What is going on with you on track? You are like a ferocious monster out there. Okay, the last couple of races, I mean, you've had the issue with the fire in the pits. You had another issue in the pits, I believe.
Mid-Ohio.
Yeah. And somehow you're still fighting your way, and you're up into the front of the field. How are you doing this? It's almost like you are using a glitch system, and you're cutting down laps.
Well, that'd be cool if I could do that. But no, I think we're having a decent year. I think the circumstances have been a little bit unlucky for us. We had the fuel issue in Mid-Ohio. We had an engine go out in Detroit. I had a couple of issues this year that's kind of held us back. But overall, it's been a good year. We've had a really good run on the ovals this year, which has kind of kept us in the fight. So yeah, we're just looking to improve, kind of keep doing what we're doing, and hopefully have some strong results here towards the end.
Now, your racing, is that your pure instinct in the car, or is that your instruction? Because you're out there, you're bumping, you're hitting. I love it. It's what IndyCar needs. It's exciting. And when the guys on the broadcast are mentioning that as well, I mean, Christian Rasmussen has got his head on fire.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's kind of how I naturally race. I think... No, I think it's been good. You know, I think we're starting to get settled in IndyCar. I kind of start to learn what IndyCar racing is all about, which it is really elbows out. It's not only me; it's also a lot of the other guys. So you kind of have to have a little bit of that to kind of survive in IndyCar. So I think we're just getting used to it and getting more, acclimated to it.
Yeah. So what a fun interview with Christian. He's such just like a loving, fun guy. He always has that like positive energy and a smile on his face. So it was really fun to like talk with him. You can also listen to the full interviews on our Instagram and TikTok at Racelets IndyCar Podcast.
Yeah, we have full interview on there. We talked a little bit more about his relationship with Alexander Rossi and the rebranding of Ed Carpenter Racing. So yeah, check out the rest of the interview we have with Christian on our social media pages. One more interview I want to play for you guys, and this one kind of touched home with me. I kind of, and Sydney, you kind of say the same thing, that Graham Rahal and me are kind of like a similar.
Yeah, they're you're like the same person.
How is that?
I don't know. You're both girl dads. You both like have the same like energy and the same vibes and just give off like, I don't know.
So are we cool dads?
Yeah.
Is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this was a cool interview we did with Graham. Wanted to catch up with him and talk a little bit about his success this season and a little rejuvenation that we've seen out of the ROL team.
Yes. All right, Graham.
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So this year, yeah, I think we've kind of seen a little rejuvenation in yourself, especially over the last 5-6 races. Do you feel different in the car now, or is just things just kind of clicking?
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel a lot different. I just think that things are starting to click, and like you feel like on Saturdays, particularly for qualifying, like if I need to go find an extra tenth of a second, that I can. I think that's what the fans don't understand about this sport, is that, you know, they go and you see you struggling qualifying, oh, he just can't do it, or he can't do it. Okay, well then what do you say about Penske this year? You know all three of those guys can do it. And then the flip side of that is, what do you say about us this year on the roads? All of a sudden we're just magic? No, that's not the case. It's just, you know, things click and the cars get better and we're starting to find areas that we can improve our race cars. And that's putting us in a better position.
Now, what has your influence been on Louis? He's having a really good rookie season. Yeah. Is he using you as a mentor in terms?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I work with Louis a lot. Same with Dev, though. I think Louis's just got a very high level of talent. I think he's also, you know, his work ethic and his dedication to it is high, because I mean, I'm sure he came in here, thought he was going to crush everybody based on what he did in Indy Lights, and then you realize it's a whole different ballgame. But, you know, at the start of the year, he struggled a lot.
But he's come to really well, and he's pushed really hard and very methodical in his approach, and it's been great to see.
I'm a father of four daughters. You're a father of three. What is it like in the household, man? I know for me, they're all daddy's girls. Is it the same for you?
Well, I got two now, right? But third on the way. I don't know, girl or boy, but I got third on the way. I have a feeling it's a girl just based on experience. But, no, man, I love it. Like, it's fun, too. Like, my oldest and I have always been extremely close. My youngest, she never was, like, really much into dad until the last, like, 6 months is all of a sudden dad exists. And, you know, I'm cooler than mom, apparently. And I'm sure that changes based on, you know, who's having to give the who's angry that day. But it's the best, you know. And I think for me, on days that are really bad around here, it humbles you. It brings you down to earth, and it makes you realize, you know, what really matters in this world. And, you know, those kids don't know wins and losses. They just know mom and dad, and, you know, and how you treat them, how you raise them, the respect that you have for them, and all those sorts of things. So that's what matters to me.
Awesome, Graham. Thank you so much. Ray, let's try to get you out to a Kings game this offseason.
Yeah, we'll do it for sure. Thank you.
Well, yeah, Dad, I agree. We should get him out of a Kings game sometime during the offseason.
Yeah, Graham is a Columbus Blue Jackets fan and also an Anaheim Ducks fan. He does live close to the Haunted Center in Yorba Linda. And what really touched me on that interview is when I brought up, you know, being a father and all that stuff. You can kind of hear Graham getting a little choked up, kind of taken back for a second. And that just shows you, you know, what it is, how proud it is to be a father and, you know, to see your kids do well. And Sydney, I love you so much. And I love doing this experience with you. This podcast has come a long ways in just a short period of time, just one season so far. We've made huge strides. We've made great contacts, amazing friends, and this ship's going to continue to roll. But now let's get into the rest of the action on Friday. What took place on Friday, Sid?
Yeah, so right after our interviews and when we left the media bullpen, it was time for IndyCar autograph session, and we were able to get front of the line passes. So, and there we were able to give Pato his Paddlemania shirt along with the bracelet.
Yeah, they broke down the line. It's different with every track you go to.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get to see every driver and you just snake your way through the line. This time you had a choice of two lines with different drivers within each one. But yeah, at the end of the table, you were able to give Pato award his Paddlemania shirt and bracelet that we had made him and have had for him for a while. So that was pretty cool. And that was right before those guys would be going out on track for their first practice session of the weekend. And for that practice session, Sid, we decided to view that at the famous Corkscrew.
Yeah.
And what a
insane view.
Them, you watch at the, you could go to at the top of the hill. So you take a tram up the hill, you can walk. But they also have a tram that will take you to the top of the hill where the Corkscrew is. Now, you can see them start to come down that side, which was really cool to get that vantage point. But then if you walk onto the other side of the hill, you look down and you've got probably 3/4 of the track viewable for you, which is beautiful. And you can just bring your chairs and sit or stand or bring a blanket. And that was a really cool vantage point as well.
Was,
so you can see the whole track on one side. You walk 20 steps onto the other side of that hill and you've got the Corkscrew. Really cool experience.
Yeah.
This track, I mean, I've been to Long Beach since I was a kid and I've been to a few other race tracks. But I absolutely fell in love with Laguna Seca and immediately we're like, this has got to be an annual trip for us. And
how have we never come here before?
All right. Well, now. I know. But yeah, so that was practice. A really good session of practice on Friday.
Yeah, Dad. And don't forget, after practice, once we left the track, we also had Connor Daly's like meetup autograph session in Salinas.
Yeah, so we were able to see Connor Daly. A pretty decent turnout, maybe 15, 20 people at AM PM. If you're not familiar with AM PM, ARCO gas stations have AM PM, the mini marts in California, and had a little meet and greet with some of the fans there. We had a couple of raffles. You spin a wheel, you could have won some swag, some AM PM stuff. But let's go back. Autograph session. Connor was wearing that cool AMPM 76 row pat. And I was like, dude, are you going to have these available at the meetup later? He's like, well, you can buy them online. I was like, well, I know, but you don't have them here on the track.
Yeah.
And he's like, I will be raffling off one of those. So with every person at the little meetup, you got a little
ticket,
a raffle ticket. And they had some tickets to give away for the weekend. Everybody who was there had already had tickets for the weekend. So that kind of didn't go according to plan. But then Connor was like, you know what? I'm going to pick the next ticket. This one's going to be for my hat. So he went to go, walked over to his car, grabbed the hat. And Sid, wouldn't you know, he picks
He picks my ticket. So we won the AMPM hat.
Yeah, that was so cool. He's like,
perfect.
He's like, perfect. You guys asked me about it at the autograph session, and then you got it. So that was pretty cool. And then he signed it for you.
Yeah.
So another hat to add to your collection. You've got quite a collection.
I do.
Going already. You've got some race-worn hats. You've gotten hats thrown away at podiums. Pretty good collection going
up
right now. It is stacking up. So after that little Connor Daly meet and greet, we went to go have some dinner with friends, and really ended the night on a really positive note.
Yeah,
extremely tired, and we did the same thing again Saturday.
Yeah, so Saturday morning we get to the track same time we did Friday, 7 a.m. But this time it was like raining more, I guess. It was wetter on track.
So it was thicker cloud cover.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit misty. We stopped at the gas station on the way, grabbed a coffee, and as we're actually driving to the track, I was kind of confused the first day we got there. We went from a different entryway, and we're driving, and I wasn't quite sure exactly. We have a GPS, and I'm at a red light, and I look over, and I see this dude in an Aero hat.
And glasses.
It's a red and white Aero hat, glasses, and I'm like, oh my God.
Dude, oh gosh.
Hey, Sid, that's Christian Lundgaard.
He's up right next to us.
He's driving a blue Toyota Corolla with Oregon plates. That was the rental car he had for the weekend. And so we let him get in front of us, and we're like, you know what?
We know where he's
going. Let's just follow him in. And luckily, he was able to get there, and then we caught up with him later. And I said, Christian, thank you for letting us follow you in. He's like, oh, I didn't even know where I was going. I was lost myself. I was like,
well, he was to the right place. So
so that was a funny way to start the morning. Yeah. And like you were saying, Sydney, the weather was not very good. IndyCar was supposed to go out at 8:30 in the morning for practice 2. And that didn't go off according to plan, did it?
No. No, we were waiting there at least an hour, waiting for the medical helicopter to get to track so that they could start practice.
Yeah, teams were bringing out all the cars onto the track, and most of the drivers and everybody
there.
were waiting around. Some never even came out of their trailers. Some didn't even bring a set of wet tires to the track.
Yeah.
And as you're patiently waiting on, you know, we're talking to different officials and like, oh, we can't do anything until the medical helicopter is here, obviously for safety reasons. But because of the denseness in the fog, that helicopter wasn't able to fly in.
Mm-hmm.
So we're almost to 2 hours and about an hour and a half. And they finally said, put the X on it. Practice is canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, what the heck? Practice is canceled? Is that going to push everything back? Now, the weather on Friday was kind of the same, like we said. And it got sunny right around 11:30, 12 o'clock. And the same thing did happen again on Saturday. But with IndyCar canceling their practice, they weren't able to make that up at all. It was officially canceled, not just postponed. It was canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Because right after IndyCar practice, you had
Indy Next qualifying.
Yeah, Indy Next had a qualifying session because they had two races this weekend, one on Saturday and one on Sunday.
Yeah.
So then the Indy guys would go out and I'm sorry, the Next guys were going to go out and qualify. They were able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it was IndyCar qualifying time.
It went straight to IndyCar qualifying, which was strange because you really need that second practice session to fine-tune the car, get it in better condition. So all the teams went out there blind, basically, for their qualifying session. And good qualifying, in my opinion. I like the guys that finished up top.
Yeah, that was a good front row.
Yeah, speeds were a little slower this year than they were previous, and I think that has to do with the extra weight due to the hybrids.
Hybrid.
So that could have been it. We heard some of the drivers also saying that the course was pretty tore up in certain areas as well. So tire degradation was a big factor, and not having to run that second session, you didn't get a chance to run your tires even more. So again, a blind qualifying for everybody. Hopefully your cars were good, and a good qualifying session.
Yeah, I think so.
I liked everybody who got into the top.
Yeah, me too.
There was one technicality, though, as we ended the Fast 12. Felix Rosenquist was in that sixth and final transfer position to get into the Fast 6. Will Power was in seventh. Unfortunately, Felix Rosenquist brought out a local yellow.
Mm-hmm.
So he lost his time, pushing him back to starting P12. Oh. That jumped Will Power into the top six. And your top six this week was really good. You had Will Power, Joseph Newgarden,
David Malukas,
Colton
Herta, Pato Award, and Alex Flo. That's really cool.
So you got Alex and Pato. Okay. Pato down 99 points coming into the weekend. He needed to use that momentum that he had in Toronto. He had won two of the last three races overall, 99 points down. He needed to make a move, it had to start this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And picking up that extra point by winning pole would be an awesome start. Yeah. Every point
really
matters. And unfortunately for Pato, he ended up in P2 because he could not chase down the speeds of
Alex Palou.
Palou wins pole again.
So now he's up 100 points from Pato.
So, now going into Sunday's race, it's a 100-point lead. Alex won pole there the year before. He had won the race previous 2 years as well. And we're thinking, oh, my gosh, this guy, he was quite a bit faster. And if he could get out to an early lead, he can
it's done.
Coast, coast to victory again and just be that much closer to clinching the championship. He wasn't able to clinch this weekend in Laguna Seca. That was already mathematically not an option. But depending on how the race went on Sunday, would determine if he would be a lot closer to clinch in Portland or if he would have to go to the final two races. And, Alex, super fast on pole. Colton Herta up there as well. Joseph Newgarden, like we mentioned, he was starting P4. So good to see Joseph.
Yeah, it was good to see really him up there.
Weekend. And so after the qualifying session, you had
So after IndyCar qualifying, we had Indy Next race one, where Kyle Collette beat out current championship leader Dennis Hauger.
Yeah, that was a really good race. It
was
about the last 10 or 12 laps, it was within a half a second. Dennis Hauger would get up there and cut that lead to about 3/10. And then once it came down to the hairpin in the backside of like turn 6, then Kyle Collette would increase that lead back up. And that was such a great, great competitive race. We caught up with Kevin Lee afterward and asked him, you know, how what he thought about that race. And he said, Kyle was incredible.
Yeah.
A lot of good stuff coming out of him. And I said, yeah, it almost looked like, you know, Dennis was going to be able to pass him up. And he said, we haven't had a pass for the lead here in the last 12 races. So once you get a lead there in that next series, you know, you're pretty much good.
It's pretty, yeah,
to go. And an incredible race to hold Dennis off, who is the current leader for the NXT, the next championship. And a really cool race. After the race, we went down for a podium celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really cool.
Yeah, we got a victory circle photo.
Yeah, I got a victory circle photo with Kyle. And
yeah, but even though we thought the day would be over right after that, it wasn't, because IndyCar had pushed warm-up from Sunday morning to Saturday evening at 4. So that was right after.
Yeah, so IndyCar didn't want to go through the same
thing they did.
Circumstances with having bad weather and not being able to run at the scheduled time for the warm-up on Sunday morning. So they pushed the warm-up to after the next race. Made a really long day out of it. We thought we would be out of the track, you know, somewhere around 2 maybe. Yeah. But after that, you know, it was almost 6 o'clock again.
Yeah.
Really good warm-up session. Saw a lot of really good stuff from the drivers. And it was going to be a really exciting race. Didn't know what to expect, you know. Alex, Colton, Pato, those were the top three, you know, that we knew had a chance to win this race, and they were all going to qualify. They all qualified up there and started at the top.
Yeah.
So that completed Saturday. Saturday evening, we went for another
dinner
session down at Cannery Row. That was a really fun evening.
It was fun.
What was the place we went?
Salty Seal Brew Pub.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
It was good.
Good fish. Fish and chips. Mm-hmm. I was craving that. That was really good.
Yeah,
and then we went to the Ghirardelli.
Ice cream after that was really good as well.
Yeah, so an awesome evening. Awesome night with friends again. And then, head back to the hotel and get our showers, get our batteries reduced. And then get ready to do the same thing Sunday. 7 a.m. It's Santa. So we get back down to the track, 7 a.m. Sunday. Weather was a little bit better, still same, you know, that overcastness. Yeah. Not as bad as Saturday. It started to clear up a little bit sooner, but we were down there so early. And the thing is, if you haven't been to a track or in the paddock before, there are rules in place in which teams cannot enter the paddock and their garages until 8 a.m. on the dot. So it was pretty cool. All the teams were waiting. You had Arrow, you had the Andretti guys, you had all the different teams all lined up. And as soon as 8 o'clock hits, they all sprint and go to their trailers, and then you start working on your car. Because if you, you know, if you go in early, you can get penalized and fined for that. So if you ever wonder why you see everybody standing around waiting, if you're there before the time, they can't enter until whatever specific time it was. In this case, it was 8 in the morning. But Sid, you had a really cool event that took place Sunday before the race.
Yeah, we had another meetup hosted by Sarah or Offie on Track. She unfortunately was not able to make it, but Chloe and Noemi were able to host it. And they did such a good job. It was so fun meeting a bunch of other people who love the same thing we do.
Yeah, I would say a turnout of maybe 40 girls there.
20.
No, I would say over 20. Yeah, I counted at one time. There were probably 40 people, mostly girls that showed up to the meetup. And they're so cool because everybody brings all their homemade swag.
Yeah, we all just trade.
Bracelet trading, and there were stickers, and there were
it's so
some
fun.
People made little ducky barrettes and
so fun.
Other people made these really cool cards, and then there was temporary tattoos. It was like going to a swap and shop there with all the race fans. And it's such a cool thing that Sarah Offenbach does in hosting these. She's such a big influencer on social media, and her following is great. If you've never met her, look her up.
Awesome.
An awesome, just a really good person, and does a great job promoting IndyCar and women in general. Mm-hmm. And such a great turnout, a lot of fun. So
you're able to meet a lot of people.
Meet a lot of cool people, make some really cool connections. While we were there handing out the bracelets, it was Stingray Rob's wife.
Yeah,
and Connor Daly's girlfriend. They joined as well, and they had heard of us.
Yeah, they had heard of us before, which was cool.
And you gave them some.
Yeah, I gave them a bracelet and some stickers, so that was awesome.
Yeah, I think it was Molly.
Yeah,
Molly, Rob, and Amy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, and give us a follow and a like, and listen to the show. We love Connor, and we love Stingray, and it's really cool when you get the wives of.
It
some
is,
of the
yeah.
drivers involved as well. It just shows you how neat and close this IndyCar community is.
Mm-hmm.
And you have people that travel from all over the place.
Yeah, you do.
Noemi and Chloe, they're local to
they're
us.
They're local to us, yeah.
You know, we're all from Southern California. We all made the trek up there, but there's people from Northern California and all across the country. And to make these races, really dedicated fans. And I think IndyCar has the best fans in all of sports.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, the community and the family is really cool. So that took place before the race and all the festivities. And then we made our way down to the track for the grid walk.
Grid walk, yeah.
And the national anthem. And Sydney, what was your experience with that?
That was awesome. Once again, we were in Pato's little area for the grid walk. And this time we were kind of like closer with the guys on his team. So they were like fine with where we were because we were like right up against the car, but it was awesome.
Yeah, we were right up against the car. Made some really, good connections.
We have good connections now.
Those Aero guys. And I just want a big shout out to Ben Christensen and
Jackson
and Armin and everybody else.
Yeah, on the team.
On that team. Awesome guys. You guys, we gave you some shirts. You guys were sporting them. We loved it.
Bracelets.
Everybody was wearing their Patomania bracelets as well. They're like, oh, these are so cool. When you see that,
awesome.
You know, when you see Chris Nash, the big 7-foot refueler wearing his bracelet and stuff, it's really cool. They take that stuff to heart, that the fans care about them as well. They're such an integral part is to making the team successful and what happens, a bobble on a pit stop could make or break a race for some matter. But those Aero guys are on that 5 car are some of the best in the business.
Yeah.
Really cool. We got to hang out with
Ben
after the race. Sorry, I lost a train of thought there. Had a couple of beers with him after and talked racing and that guy has, I would love to have him on the show, but they're contractually, if that's the right word, bonded, the word they can't really talk about or go on shows or even put out YouTube videos or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But to get a really cool history of him
and his perspective on racing is really cool.
Yeah, some of the stories he had were phenomenal. So thank you very much, Ben. That was awesome. I'd love to catch up with you again. And we'll see you guys in the near future. But, then it was time, We had the Jets fly over, which is also such a cool experience. Always gives you chills. Awesome. And, we were so pumped up. A lot of anticipation, a lot of excitement, a lot of nervousness. And we're just fans, we're doing a job there, reporting on the race and doing – our journalistic work, but there's so much going on. So much is on the line. You had Alex Lowe so much closer to the championship. Are we going to see him win another race? What was Pato going to do? Yes. A lot of fun, a lot of anticipation. So we were able to leave the grid as the drivers have the command to go to their cars and eventually get the start their engine. Mm-hmm. Excuse me, start their engine commands. And I told you, Sid, I'm like, let's go down. Let's go take a walk over to turn three. So when green flag comes, they're on an uphill trajectory. Mm-hmm. They go to turn one and down the Andretti hairpin into turn three. And I said, Sid, there's going to be some action happening. I want to be here. This is the biggest turn to start the race. Everybody's flying. Let's see what happens. And lo and behold.
Yeah, something happened.
What happened?
Robert Schwartzman and Connor Daly. I don't know what happened. I think they just like touched. And they were right in front of us in the gravel.
Yeah, Robert Schwartzman's car, literally right, nothing between us and the fence, really. So that was a really cool experience to see that happen. And like, you're like, Dad, you called it. I was like, I know. I had a feeling that this was going to happen. I didn't have the energy to take a walk and watch the race really anywhere else. So we watched the first 10 or 15 laps from that area, which was really fun. I wanted to go up to the Corkscrew and watch some of the race, but that's just...
It's hard during race day, like during the race to make the way up to all these different spots.
Yeah, that's why I see these different areas during the practice sessions and even qualifying. So that way you can experience all of the track.
Yeah.
There's so much you can't do in just one weekend.
That's why
I'm like, we've got to go again and experience it
a
different way the next time. But yeah. As the race went on, we were able to watch from just outside, or in between, actually, Pato Award's pit and Alex
Palou's pit
box. And what a really good race, you know.
Yeah.
Let's get into the race. So we had that first incident brought out a yellow. Both cars were able to get back on track.
No, the first incident that brought out a yellow was Simpson and Rosenquist crash on lap in turn six.
You're right. Just after that other one.
Yep.
So Schwartzman and Daly were able to get back to the back of the field.
Yeah.
And, that Simpson crash, he kind of got punted there.
That was insane.
Ended Kiff Dog's day on the first lap.
First lap,
Well, what happened with that crash, Sid, from your perspective?
Well, it looked like Rosenquist just made contact with the back of Kiffin's car and just sent him into the tire barriers.
Yeah, so that was an unfortunate. It brought out an early yellow to start the race, so then it took about three or four laps until they were brought back up to green, and then not too long after that, we had another yellow come out in which Jacob Abel,
in turn two,
brake failure.
Yeah,
and was basically on the throttle all the way over the speed bump and straight into the tires as well, and that brought out another
in the Andretti hairpin, right? Turn two.
Yeah. Was unable to brake, and another DNF for Jacob. He had just had one of his best races of the season in Toronto, and to see him go out that early was a shame. But that is the life of racing, unfortunately.
Yeah. So after it went green, Alex was just dominating on track. He had an average of I think 10 seconds over Colton Herta.
Yeah, Alex had a huge lead in this race, and the fight was really for the positions behind him. And there was one point I think that Alex had like a 31 second lead. 31 seconds. And he was able to pit.
Yeah, so Nolan Siegel had the lead at one point, and he went into pit, and then so Alex was back in the lead, and then Alex went into pit and was still in the lead.
That's incredible.
That's insane.
Alex led for 80 of the 95 laps.
Yeah, 84 laps.
That's insane.
That's insane.
The only other person to lead was Nolan Siegel. Yeah. But that just showed you just the car that Alex had and how he was able to manage his tire situation and the right strategies by the 10 team with their the way they use their tires and everything. And Alex just drove a near perfect race. He even said afterward that this was one of his best races, maybe his best race of the season. Just how everything just
played out for him.
You know, a great qualifying. You know, you get pole, and then you just you go pole. Win wire to wire, and just win. And it turned out that's what he ended up doing. Another big crash in the race took place between Kyle Kirkwood and VK, which on social media, those guys, a little talking back and forth between them, said Kyle Kirkwood was saying that braking way too early in that turn, and he had been doing it all race, apparently, and Kyle had hit him, and both of those guys were basically done for the day as well.
Yeah.
And with each yellow that came out, you know, another restart had to happen, but Alex just
still in the lead.
Found a way. It was later on in the race.
Yeah, later on in the race where the big battle was happening between Colton Herta and Christian Lundgaard.
Yeah, they were going back and forth. Christian ended up overtaking.
Yeah, catching him.
Colton there and
Getting in second.
Another, you know, Callum Ilott had an outstanding race as well.
Yeah,
he was
really
making
good
his
race.
Way up to the field. He was in sixth. He started the race in
24th.
And Ilott ended finishing in sixth place. Yeah. He was the biggest mover of the day, moving up 18 spots. Outstanding job from Callum. He's really done quite well this season. You're seeing his improvement. And that team is just getting a little better with each
As
race,
every race yeah.
that goes on. And that's expected from a rookie team. They're going to have their struggles. And their hurdles, but
they're gonna have their good.
Absolutely, Sydney. Well put with that. Santino Ferrucci has an incident that brings out a yellow late in the race. But it was this
incident. I wouldn't even say an incident. Marcus Ericsson just spun out, I would say, going up to the corkscrew on turn 7. And what was weird was that they waited a while to bring out the yellow.
Yeah, it was a dangerous amount of time that went by. It was a blind. So the cars coming up are going at 100, like Alexander Rossi was saying, 160 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Coming up to this blind area where Marcus Ericsson's car was still on track facing the wrong direction.
Yeah.
No yellow was thrown for almost a minute and 30 seconds.
Yeah.
That was
and cars are passing him like
disaster.
Yeah,
in the making, and praise God that nothing did happen, because had something happened, that would have been devastating.
Yeah,
life threatening.
Yeah,
and you never want to see that. And you know, then the talk is, is everybody's like, why is IndyCar Race Control doing this?
Yeah, why is there no yellow out?
This isn't the first time that they have failed to respond. Yeah. In a timely manner to throw out a yellow. And I wanted to get to the bottom of that. Don't know exactly why it took so long. Maybe they thought because, you know, with the cars being a hybrid now, they have the self restarting. And Ericsson was able to.
Because once the yellow was out, he was able to get back on.
Yeah.
Restart his car.
I don't know. It was definitely dangerous. Brought out another yellow. I think 7 laps remaining.
Yeah.
And Alex Palou goes on and wins by 3.8 seconds over Christian Lundgaard in second place, Colton Herta in third.
Yeah, and Pato O'Ward finishes fourth with his championship hopes just dwindling down.
Yeah, he's now down by 121 points.
Yeah.
With 3 races remaining. So Pato, still with a good result, finishes fourth. Scott Dixon fifth. And, Callum Ilott 6th, like we mentioned. Joseph Newgarden 7th.
Will Power 7th.
I'm sorry, Will Power 7th. Again, the best out of the Penske's.
Yeah.
All the Penske's did finish
They
this
did finish
race,
the though. Race, yeah.
So good on them for that. Christian Rasmussen, another top 10 as well.
Marcus Armstrong, another
Marcus
one.
Marcus Armstrong.
Yeah.
Really good season for Marcus.
Yeah.
He's really in the top good. 10 in the standings.
He had his podium a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, great job by him. But Pato O'Ward just couldn't get it done in a race in which he needed to pick up the win to, you know, really put up much of a fight for that championship. It's not over yet, but it's looking like it might be.
It could be.
And it could be as early as next weekend. But an awesome race. You know, Alex Palou, eight wins the season now.
That's incredible.
We're talking, you know, one of the best seasons in IndyCar history. He's tied Sebastian Bourdais.
Mm-hmm.
He was the last person to win eight races. He's two away from AJ Foyt's record.
With three races to go.
And you know Alex is going to want to try to win those.
Oh, yeah.
You know Chip is going to want to try to win those as well. You know, especially if he wins the championship. So let's just say he wins the race at Portland and clinches the championship. Then he goes out there with a chance, two chances to win one race for that 10 mark.
Yeah.
Which is just incredible. It's something I haven't seen in my lifetime, and a lot of other people are saying the same thing. This is one of the best IndyCar seasons in the history.
Yeah, and you can hate him all you want, but, like, how often are you going to see this?
Nobody's really hating Alex. I think they're just, some people are just tired of seeing the same guy win, but he is that much better than everybody else. He is, and he's going nowhere.
No, he's not. He still has so many years ahead of him.
Really, you know, honestly, you've got Will Power and Scott Dixon,
we'll be done soon.
Veterans that don't have many years left in them. Pato O'Ward, probably the next big
guy,
Kyle Kirkwood, and then you have some of the other Europeans, and, you know, the guys, you know, coming up through the next ranks and stuff like that. Who's going to challenge Alex Palou?
I don't know. I think Pato's the safe bet.
Is it going to be Pato and Alex battling it out?
I think for a good while, yeah.
But
Yeah,
but you're going to have to really step up the game, you know, on the aero side. What are they going to do? They've got 11 podiums, though. Tremendous job. The most podiums they've ever had in a season.
Yeah.
Six from Pato and
five
now from Christian Lundgaard. And all three races we attended this year, Christian
Lundgaard was on the podium.
Finished on podium, so that was awesome. He's really had a good season, a really good driver. I'm glad they brought him into that group as well.
Yeah, he's done really well.
They're battling. But, yeah, Alex Palou is just doing things that are unheard of. You know, even Chip Ganassi said, I don't think I've ever seen somebody as good as him. Like, I don't
really
know.
Need if to you appreciate it.
It's hard to compare him. Like you do in other greats for other sports, like, say, Mike Trout. How do you compare Mike Trout to Mickey Mantle when Trout was in his prime and you know, comparing him to Mickey? You can't, because they don't really – they were in different eras, you know, Michael Jordan to LeBron. You know, they didn't play at the same time together, so you can't really make that determination. Both outstanding players. I don't know how you compare Alex. How would Alex be doing if he was racing in the 60s and 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
I don't know. He may win. He could be winning every race.
Yeah.
If he was racing at the talent that he has. It's simply incredible. Congratulations to Alex. I want to see him get to that 10th win of the season. But, man, that summed up all of the racing, the IndyCar racing on Sunday. Really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, there's so much going on, and then the race happens and it's over in a blink of an eye. And the entire weekend you spent, all the miles you've walked, lines you've waited in, sun beating down on you. It sucks when it finally comes to an end and it's over. And
especially for us, so that was our last race of the season. Yeah. So.
I hope you had a really good time with the races that we did go to. So.
Yeah, I did.
Awesome experience. We're just going to continue to grow this show and everything like that. So a lot of good things coming up with that.
Yeah.
We had another Indy Next race after the Indy race,
mm-hmm.
and Kyle Collette wins that one again. So he sweeps the doubleheader.
Yeah.
and is now sitting in second place
in the next championship.
And yeah, it's going to be him and Dennis Hauger right now looking like they're going to battle for that championship, making it a little bit closer. So that'd be awesome. Make sure you guys tune into those next races as well. They really are fun to watch.
Too, yeah.
And those guys are the future of the sport. So watch them, cheer them if you have a chance to meet them. All great guys, young kids, bright futures. And yeah, those guys are great as well. So awesome weekend of racing, Sid.
Yeah.
How did your grid rival picks do, Sid?
Okay, I guess. I wouldn't say it was the best weekend for me. I finished with an overall score of 621, so it was decent.
It was decent. I had a total of 658 points. I did have Alex Pillow on my team, 156 points. Christian Rasmussen got me the most for my squad at 188. I had him with the star next to his name. I also had Colton Herta, Pato Award. Was hoping for that result from Pato. He only got 91 points. Yeah. However, he was the second best Aero McLaren, so he didn't get those extra bonus points for being the top of the team. And then the bottom two on my team were Devlin DeFrancesco and Jacob Abel, just because I didn't have enough money to get anybody else. And that's what happens sometimes. But yeah, we got Portland coming up next weekend. I'm going to have to really do some research.
Me too. Will Power won last year.
Yeah. Power won, but Alex has been there.
Alex has won there. He started from pole and won there.
It's going to be a matter of time until you say, oh, where hasn't Alex won a race?
Hasn't he won?
He had never won an oval coming into this season.
Now he's won two.
He's won two. And the biggest of them all.
Yeah.
And he's won road courses.
And he's won street courses. Like, he's won them all.
It's just incredible. I can't keep talking about the guy. He is such a nice guy. And then even after the race, Sid, he took the time to make a little TikTok.
Yeah, we made a video with him and got a picture. And he mentioned my jersey. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Also, big shout out to Ricky Davis.
Ricky Davis.
We love Ricky Davis. We love running into him. And he is our guy. He's taking great care of you, Sid.
Yeah.
We love seeing him. Always so nice and you know, can't wait to get out and see those guys again. Unfortunately, this was our last race, but yeah, can't wait for what's to happen. Some news off track just within the last couple of days, Andretti Global announcing that they are keeping Marcus Ericsson in
another year.
Their seat for another year. Are you surprised at that?
Yes, kind of, maybe. I don't know. Marcus hasn't had the greatest season.
No, he's currently sitting 20th in the standings.
So I don't know how I feel about that.
I had a discussion with a couple of guys down at there, and we were talking about moving, who's going to be moving around. It all started with asking, where's Rinus VK?
Where's he going?
Where's he going? And I had some good discussions, and for the most part, they think that he may stick around for one more season with Dale Coyne.
Or go to RLL.
Or if RLL dismisses Dev, then Rinus can go and jump in that RLL seat for a year or so until maybe, you know, who knows what's going to happen. With Willpower, we've talked about it almost every week. We still have no answers as to what's happening with him, but I don't see why Penske would not.
I don't see why they wouldn't keep him in one more year.
The best of the guys this year. And he's really having a pretty decent season. I'd love to see Will back. He's got that fighting spirit. But I could see maybe, I don't know, maybe somebody like a Jacob Abel. Is he still going to be around for another year? Or
does say a Dale Coyne.
Dale Coyne bring in somebody else? You know, we'll wait and see what happens with all of that. It sounds to me like
I think everything revolves around where Will's going, though.
It does, because you've got...
Because then if he doesn't go, then will David go there? And then who's going to take his spot? You know?
Yeah, it's like signing the biggest free agent in sports, and then all the dominoes fall after that.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. I was quite shocked again really outside of the 500, Marcus Ericsson, you know, hasn't been in championship contentions. And this year is his worst by far, sitting in 20th place. So maybe it's just a, you know, buy time until Dennis Hauger is the next one to step in.
That's what I think, yeah.
That Andretti ride, they're just waiting for him. Give Dennis more year in next, and
he'll be there. I think so.
Yeah, that makes the most sense to me. That guy.
I'd love to see that.
That guy is an awesome driver. He didn't have the greatest of weekends. He came in second place in the first next race, and then had a DNF, or finished at the back of the field in the second race. He made an incident with teammate Lockie Hughes. And they both took each other out in that second race. But second bit of big news is Fox acquiring and buying 1/3 of IndyCar from Penske.
Mm-hmm. Is that good?
What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. Like, is it good? Are we happy with this move?
I think so. And from what I'm seeing, everybody else is.
The drivers and everyone seems happy.
Drivers, owners. Yeah. This is what they've been waiting for. This could be the rejuvenation. This could make IndyCar the greatest series in racing again. And now that it's got Fox ownership in it as well, I'm hoping maybe we can see a longer season.
Oh, me too.
To 20 race season, maybe.
Yeah, make it an even number.
Make it a longer season. These races are great.
It's done.
You know, you go from March to August. That's all you've got.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, Fox has got the NFL on Sundays. And I think that's a big reason why it's only in that. You know, you can't move. You want IndyCar on your main channels. And the NFL starts late August, early September. So you've got the NFL coming in. So I think that has a big thing to do. Unless they start doing some Saturday racing.
Maybe bring
back a few more ovals.
Yeah, and do night races.
I wouldn't mind seeing a few more ovals. Saturday night oval. Every oval on a Saturday night or something like that.
Yeah.
Or make it, you know, that would be really cool.
That would be really cool, yeah.
I'm interested to see what Fox is going to do with their hand. One thing I don't want them to do is I don't want them to start going into a playoff system like NASCAR has. I like to keep the current championship points and the way the championship is won instead of having the playoff like NASCAR does, because I think I don't like that format. Keep it the way it is.
The championship makes it fun, too.
Oh, it does.
Points and how everything works.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just an awesome weekend, Sid. To wrap things up, we went on a little bit longer this time because we wanted to bring you guys
so much
those interviews. Any shout-outs to anybody that we met over the weekend?
Well, to our good friends that we've known for a while now, that we met in Thermal, Noemi and Chloe. They were just so kind and sweet to us all weekend, inviting us to dinner and all that. So it was really good to catch up and see them again.
Yeah, it was really cool experience. I got to meet a Hockey Hall of Famer and broadcaster, Dan Rusinowski. Now, Dan Rusinowski is the play-by-play radio announcer for the San Jose Sharks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're LA Kings fans, but we love hockey. And I've listened to Dan call games when I'm driving home at night, or if I just wanted to listen to a game on the radio. And he was there calling for IndyCar Radio this weekend. And what a really cool guy.
He was really nice.
Thank you for Jonathan Grace for, you know, introducing us to Dan. And Jonathan, you're always so nice.
Good to see you again.
Good to see you. Great to see you guys. Familiar faces. And
it's always good to see.
When other people in the IndyCar world, whether it be broadcasters or officials like Brian from security.
Yeah.
The very first time we saw him, you know, he didn't quite know who we were, but then we'd seen him a few other races, and now super cool guy, really nice, asks, you know, how we're doing, takes good care of us, especially when we're in the pits and stuff like that. Yeah. So good to see people like that. And then the drivers and the you know, the other crew members from the other teams.
Yeah.
You know, they recognize you. They've
yeah,
seen
they
you
remember
before.
Us, yeah.
And they're like, oh, it's great to see you.
Yeah,
and
that makes it awesome. That's so cool.
It's such a neat feeling that, you know, you made an impression.
Yeah.
Especially you, Sid, you know, 15 years old and on this journey, you're just getting started. And
yeah.
I can't wait to continue doing this. Please check out our social media pages, Instagram,
and now
Racelets. Yeah. Racelets IndyCar Podcast on Instagram, where we're posting a lot of videos and content from this past weekend.
Yeah.
All the interviews we did are going to be on there.
Are on there, yep.
What is the TikTok?
Oh, yeah. So we just made a TikTok, and it's the same as Instagram. It's Racelets IndyCar Podcast.
Okay. Any good videos on there?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Alex video on there, he's got some views. And
yeah, our videos. Yeah. They've done really well.
Really cool. And then don't forget to like and subscribe to us on YouTube and on Spotify.
Yeah.
We're going to continue to bring you an awesome show. We're probably going to do a quick preview on Portland. Maybe next week after the first day of practice goes, we'll do a quick Portland preview and any updates on as to what happens over the next week until that time. But Sid, awesome talking again,
yeah.
IndyCar. We had such an awesome weekend. Yeah, we have a weekend off. Now what do we do with ourselves? No racing, but thank you all for listening. And again, follow us, like, subscribe. If you have any questions, send us a DM. We'd love to help you out. And yeah, we give you a shout out on our show. Met some really cool people and continue to grow this podcast. Thank you so much for Fred.
Sydney.
Have a great night, guys.